That's the owl man,
thank
Paul.
Lord, that you're
scripture you're speaking of, it's like that.
Able to be out. Thank the Lord for this.
But I believe you speak of the inner man, says something about it's renewed day by day.
If anyone just have a hand, I might have to use it very
well. So we all have a body
Lord
and a soul.
Anyone?
What I have on my heart tonight is
for my,
let's see what we live for. Is it for the inner man or for the outer man?
To help me along, someone turned to 1 Peter.
And where?
First chapter.
What do you spend your life doing? I'm talking about the strength of God. Preparing things for the outer man or for the inner man. Now,
when we call for it, we may want to start about verse 9.
Just don't believe in God. You could sort of excuse him a little if he didn't try to, prepare nothing for the inner man because he don't believe in the inner man.
Since thought,
so then all
is Revelation, the 21st chapter and verse 3. And I will read it now.
Getting ready for him in life. And
I heard a great voice from heaven saying,
sleeping and drinking and having
behold,
a good time he can, because when he's
tabernacle
dying,
of God
anyway,
is with
no
men. And he will dwell
but
with
I'm
them.
I'm not talking to atheists.
They
I'm
shall
talking
be his
to
people.
And
God himself
will
be with
that
them.
I have a soul
and be their God.
And people that know.
And read that again.
That when this body.
And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men.
Going on to paradise, men from there on to the throne.
And he will dwell with them.
This is what I'm talking about.
They shall be his people.
Believe this.
And God himself shall be with them.
That's
and
one
be their
thing
God.
About most Baptist people that
and
I,
God shall wipe away all tears from the eyes.
They don't,
there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. Now I read this verse 4 with it, but in particular verse 3, notice where this voice comes from.
They know the Bible teaches.
He didn't say I heard a voice from some of my buddies.
They'll try to make you think.
He didn't say I heard a rumor among the people.
Now that letter I believe that
he didn't say I
was
heard
talking
some
about
children reciting this.
Being glad that he was saved and being on down further.
He said I heard a voice from heaven
so-called.
Saying this. And what did this voice say?
I'm talking about
behold,
that
means look.
That know that
and give me attention here.
Know that when
the tabernacle of God
the body, it
is with men.
Body and soul. That's
and he will dwell with them.
All right,
the tabernacle of God is with men and God will dwell with them.
About the carnal man.
And they shall be his people.
What it means to live
and God himself.
Actually, what the
glory and honor to his name.
About the flesh.
He didn't say this one of the angels
or after the flesh.
Messenger of one of the good men, but God himself shall be with them.
If you could judge a man,
isn't that all right? And be their God.
Now, the
all right.
Get saved when they hear the message.
Now,
we'd have some
this thought.
Most of this means
is to the church,
like Brother Potter,
but will most certainly apply to all.
You wanted to judge the
Potter, that which will encourage the church would bless anybody else is accepted.
Yes.
But that's not the way
the tabernacle of the Lord is with men.
Then what the people do about it, that's up to the people.
And God will dwell with them,
but not the quality of the message,
and be their God.
So now,
and that voice come from
so
heaven saying
that. I'm body and soul.
Now, the New Testament church consists of God and man united. That's what the church is.
You ought to be
a matrimony between God and man.
Your cause in the world to get something good for this body.
God alone is not the church.
What we're here for tonight,
man alone is not
the
church.
And the
it's the uniting of God and man together.
You take a man out there in the world.
A wife,
the Bible says somewhere, whether children
is a woman.
Of darkness, a wife.
But all women are not wives. She's a maid until she's given to a man in marriage.
Out there in the world that are not saved.
Once she's married, she becomes his wife.
Get things for this.
What makes you the church is when you are married to Christ. It's the uniting with him that constitutes you the church. This voice came from heaven. The tabernacle of the Lord, we all understood it's from heaven, but it's with men too. In the 21st chapter of Revelation, John saw the holy Jerusalem ascending from God out of heaven. And she's donned up, decked up like a bride, just springing to get married. And he saw it on an exceedingly high mountain in the spirit. That was the church. Ascending from God out of heaven. It didn't continue to ascend in the act of a descending. It reached the end. According to the second chapter of Acts, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. There come a sound of a rushing and mighty wind from heaven. Sound like a rushing mighty wind. Filled all the house while they were sitting. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and the devout men out of every nation under heaven there. Right then and there, the church was established on earth. And began to spread abroad to every nation. Now John saw it coming, but there's 120 people were present when it landed. Glory to his name. This voice came from heaven, saying, look, give me your attention. The tabernacle of God is with men. Note the fact that many good people who see the church spiritually still doesn't quite see it as it is should be on earth. That's fact. Most Christians in any denomination that has a real experience of salvation doesn't make a lot of difference what their upbringing was. If they have found the Lord, they see the church in a measure. They know it's a spiritual institution. They know it's a spiritual relationship between that soul and God. But most of them doesn't know. Many a good Christian doesn't know. And that it's God's intention and his plan that he so dwell in people on earth. So as to make that people on earth be just like the people in heaven while still living on earth. Now that's the part most Christians don't see. Now be really agree with me, wouldn't you? Now most anyone that finds the Lord, no matter what their background of teaching does, when once they find the Lord and get his forgiveness for their sin, and that burden leave them, they can sense that to be in God's church is to be in a fellowship with heaven. They can sense that. But they think the church is a part of everything. That's what they think. They think out of all the different denominations, religions of every description, all of it together makes it up. But no, that's what hides it. That's the fog that hides it from the view of the good, honest Christian. But God intended to have a one people, an exclusive people, separate, a people on earth that there's no other people like them but them. That's true.
Amen.
One old prophet said they were not even numbered among the nations. Yeah. Now that's the kind of people God wants. And that's the kind he's going to have.
Now, Will and Roman, a lot of
if it's not me, he's going to have it anyway.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yes.
Romans, it's not going to. Now, I've been in church of God all my life. I mean, all of it.
Some of them, I still don't want to miss Romans
59 years old almost. Never been anything else. But God's going to have a church.
Right,
and it don't have to be me.
Amen.
I'm well aware of it. That's right.
Amen.
I'm hard up to go to heaven.
Yes.
Amen.
Where you can find it.
It's no matter. I've seen some people act like you and God a favor to live safe. Well, I prayed 2 or 3 times, it didn't bless me. But I prayed 58 times. And pray some more. It's worth it. It's worth it. The tabernacle of the Lord is with men. I keep repeating that for a purpose. I want to make sure you've got the thought. It's with men. Any person anywhere, you can get them from a foreign land. If they continue to pray until they find the Lord, doesn't matter what they're mixed up in, when they find the Lord, they have some vision of the church. They do not have it clear, separate, and distinguished, but they know it's a relationship between the Lord and I. They understand that. But most Christian does not know that God intends to and will have a people, a body of people, not just separate individuals scattered over the world, but God will have a body of people who's in unity with God and each other. And that his tabernacle is with that people here on earth. Now, yes, I did mention the Lord's Prayer, if we have it. We'll bring it in right at this point. And I believe you can to help bring upon us. Our Father which art in heaven, is after this manner. Now some folks think it means just repeat these words. It's not a sin to repeat these words. But it doesn't mean that only. It means this is a manner of prayer you should pray. Yeah, all right. Go right ahead. You see, you must acknowledge God as your Heavenly Father. We don't.
Hallowed be thy name.
And when you pray, it'll be good that you always accompany your prayer with reverence to God before you ask the petition. Now they tell me that this, in ancient times and perhaps some section of the country, that if a person was sent on emergency, somebody's dying, when he meets the neighbor, whoever it is, he stop and ask him, is he everything well with him and all his family first, then tell him what he comes from. Now when you come to God even in an emergency, come reverencing him. Hallowed be thy name. That's the manner of prayer you should pray. All right?
Thy kingdom come.
Now this is praying for the church to be established here on earth. In your heart. Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done in earth.
Thy will be done in earth.
As it is in heaven.
Just as it's done in heaven. Paul's making that. Did you notice that word in earth?
Yes.
You are earth, see?
Yes.
And you're actually asking for the kingdom to come to you.
Yes.
And for God to set up his will right in your heart, just like it is in heaven. That's what you're praying.
Amen.
Now you may not use exact words, no more nor no less than this prayer here, but that's the manner of prayer you pray.
Yes.
That's the way, that's the kind of petition you're praying to God. First of all, you'd acknowledge him as the Father of us all, Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Then you'd hallow his name. That means you'd reverence him. Come to him reverence him first of all. Don't get so loaded down in trouble till you come to God half cranky. Come to him with reverence. If you're half dead, thank God you're not fully dead. That's right, man. I can testify that that's the way it was with me when I was more than half dead. At all times I was thankful as well. It wasn't 1 minute. I was halfway huffed because God delayed and didn't heal. No, I wasn't either.
Amen.
Thankful that God, I wasn't fully dead.
Yes.
I thank God that I can at least stand up and hold the pulpit and talk a little.
Amen.
Hallowed be thy name. Come to him with reverence. All right? Thy will be done. I want that just before we read a little more. Thy will be done. We would say on earth with them. They said in earth. That means that will be done in me. And all the rest of us. I just got through saying I want your kingdom to come. Why you want to come to on out there in the woods somewhere? No, come into my heart. That's what I'm asking. And after you get it there, I want your will to be done right in this earthen vessel. Just like it's done in heaven. Isn't that all right? You say, well, what is a kingdom? And Romans what? Romans 14, 16 long in there. Kingdom of God is not of heaven is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. That means I'm asking God to let righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost come. Let that come. Then let your will be done in earth, in me. Just like it's doing, they're doing it up there in heaven. Now that's the thing that the most Christian doesn't know. I mean that's saved. I don't mean people that's not saved. People that know the Lord. You can try to discredit their salvation, but they know the Lord. Because they tries to keep that relationship up with him. And if they find an error, they'll correct it. And you can tell them they're not, but down in their hearts, they know the Lord. But they didn't know they had a right to ask God to set up his kingdom in me and reign. They didn't know I had all that privilege. Just like reigning up that heaven. Now we're going to take the next order, please. And I'm going to trust you for my food. Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our debts.
And give us our debts.
As we forgive our debts.
As to the extent that we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation.
Now we are human. So lead us not into temptation.
But deliver us from evil.
When we're in close place, we pray you to deliver us. Now you know we need that?
Amen.
If I'm unexpected, thrown into a close place, let not temptation overwhelm me. Give me victory. That's that prayer we ought to pray. Isn't that a good one to pray? Now, forgive us our debtors, our debts, and we forgive our debtors. The one thing I want to say, I believe it's Luke the 17th chapter, where that one of them asked Jesus about sinning, brother, sin against him, forgive him. Jesus said, if I sin against you seven times in a day, and turn and say, I repent, thou shalt forgive me. That's a lot of time in one day. That's a lot of time in one day. He said, your brother. Then in the 18th chapter of Matthew, Peter seemed to thought he had the lesson now. So he quoted this himself. How many times my brother sinned against me until seven times? Jesus said, I say unto you, until 70 times 7 shall be given. That's 490 times. Now that got it, didn't it? Now here's what I'm going to say to you. There's no such thing as people, two or more people, living together, involved with each other, and not have to need to forgive each other sometimes. It doesn't matter how righteous you try to be, and how much sense you think you have. There'll be somewhere along the line that you've got to forgive and sometimes ask forgiveness. And some of this forgiveness you've got to grant the person that offended you doesn't know it. And doesn't have enough understanding to see it to tell it. Amen? Now that's true. And you'll offend them trying to tell them they've done you wrong. The only hope is to get grace to forgive it and put it under the blood and move on to God. Now that happens. You say, I know you have more sense than that. But you keep on until you get in a jam somewhere and you wake up to the fact, I thought I had more sense than that. Then you're ready to turn around and forgive somebody. Now let us notice what goes along with this. We want your kingdom to come. And want your will to be done. Right in me, just like it's up in heaven. And in order for this to be so, I want you to lead me away from the temptation and deliver me from it. I know I need that. Then another thing I need you to be willing to forgive me. Not willful sins, and they're going to willfully sin. Amen. But when I've done the best I know and find out that it ought to be a lot better than that, forgive me for that. Amen. Don't hold it over me. Give me a chance to improve. You know what I'm promising? I'm promising God I'll do that for others. Forgive us for our debtors as we forgive others. I'm making a promise with this prayer. That's the manner of prayer we should pray.
Amen.
Amen. Do not hold it over me. When I learn better, give me a chance to do better. Now, the only way to have a spiritual church, and there's no need to ever think you will have, unless you can forgive. And the only way to keep spiritual yourself is to not be too proud to face your mistakes and admit it. Don't try to drag somebody else with you. Even if they are with you, let them say their part of it. Amen. You've got to be willing to face the mistake and admit, yes, I did that. And not only face it, but do the best that you have enough sense to do the correct. Why? I want that kingdom to come. Now, in our case, you see that prayer is prayed by many religions all down through the years. But you see, everything in that prayer is not needed all the time. Because after the kingdom has come, you don't keep praying that kingdom come now. You got it. You pray now, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. See, that's what you're praying now. And you still may pray, forgive me for my debtor. Because even if you cease from willfully sinning, there's so many unexpected, unthought of things can cross your path.
Instead of letting that go,
you hardly ever would see it at the time. But when you progress further along and got more light, you look back at it, and it doesn't look good to you, much less anybody else. Well, now, when that comes, you want God to have mercy on you. You hate for the Lord to hold you right there. Give me a chance, and I'll clear that thing up and move on for you. Forgive us our debtors as we forgive others. Now, when we willfully do wrong, you see, that's sin. That's what separates from God. That brings repentance, salvation. Now, I think we're kind of getting on the line of what we want to talk about a little here. We've brought out already, yes, we've already brought the thought out that the manner of prayer is for the kingdom to come. All sanctified people, that has happened. Justified people should still be praying that because them apostles were justified when Jesus was telling them that, you see. So justified folks in this building, still, that's your prayer. That should be the manner of your prayer today. The kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth. We still pray that after we're sanctified. I want your will to constantly be done, see, as it is in heaven. All right? Now, when you have prayed and the will of God is done, the kingdom of God has come. Back to the text. The tabernacle of the Lord is with men. It's coming to my heart now. He will dwell with them. Be their God. They shall be his people. He'll be their God. Now listen. Let's get it clear in our mind. In order for God to dwell with us, we'll have to continue to let thy will be done. Continue to do that. As it is in heaven. Notice now, as it is in heaven. That means we'll have to continue to forgive. We'll have to continue to humble more and more. Keep in that state for the will to be done. In this earthen vessel, as it is done in heaven. Now, the text I gave in 1 Peter 1, verses 9 to 12, might read now. Receiving the end that results of your faith, it resulted in the salvation of your soul. Now the prophets in the Old Testament inquired and searched diligently about that salvation.
Prophesied of the grace that should come unto you.
And these prophets prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what?
Of what manner of times the spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify.
These prophets was wondering what manner of time this would be, and they're searching into it. The Spirit of God, speaking through the hearts of the Old Testament prophets, told them about the New Testament salvation, this very one we're talking about now, and it's so wonderful that the prophets wondered what manner of time that would be. All right. When the Spirit of God in him testified beforehand,
the suffering of Christ,
and the glory that's going to follow it. Now that's rich, isn't it? Now notice it is so rich and wonderful. From the prophet that God revealed it to hundreds of years before Christ came. It's so marvelous that he desired to look into it. And he wondered what manner of time that would be. When Christ had suffered, as he said he had suffered, rise from the dead, and the great glory that followed, and millions of people would be saved by his blood and live holy on earth. But a thing unheard of in the Old Testament. You know, living that kind of life here on earth. So then that was why it puzzled the prophet. Now I'll give you another picture to help you understand the position the Old Testament prophet is in. Now I prophesied the second coming of Christ and the glory that will follow that. When my Lord ascends from heaven with 10,000 of his saints and all the holy angels with him. Now that's something we sing the song, what will it be to be there? See that? There's a wonder right there, isn't it? It sounds too good to be true. Well, that's the way it was then back then. Them prophets couldn't understand what that would be like when men still on earth would be delivered by his blood from sin and live here on earth without sin. They couldn't understand that. They wondered what manner of time that would be. They were searching, trying to see more into it. Let's see what the angels thought about it. Read a little further. Unto whom it was revealed.
That not unto themselves.
Not unto themselves.
But unto us they did minister the things.
Unto us they did minister the things.
Which are now reported unto you by them.
That's now reported unto you by them.
That have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost.
That have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost.
Sent down from heaven.
Sent down from heaven. And this is so marvelous, the angels want to take a look at it. Now that's the New Testament salvation. That's not heaven. That's what we have today. Now, back to my point again. Everyone that's saved and know the Lord, they have some vision of the church. But they do not all see it to the extent that God want, desire, and will have a people on earth. I didn't say some people, a people. An exclusive, separate people on earth that his will can be done in that people as it is in heaven. Right here on earth. Now the prophet knew it, but it's so marvelous that he wondered what manner of time it be. He searched and tried to get some more in, curious to know more about it. Because it was unheard of in his day. But he knew it was to come after Jesus suffered. And what puzzled the prophet, it is clearly understood by him that Jesus would be a man. Amen. And would live on earth. And be kin to the other folks. And would die for his brother and his fellow man. And rise again. Well, the prophet couldn't get all that put together, but he knew it had happened because God said it would. That's marvelous, isn't it? Moses, who walked closer to God than any, talked to mouth to mouth. He said, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you off your brotherly. He had it down pretty close, didn't he? And he's going to be one like me. And him shall he hear all things. And those that don't hear that prophet shall be cut off among the people. That's what Moses told him. Now Moses knew that he was called as a mediator between man and God. and knew this great prophet of the New Testament, the great Messiah, would be the mediator between man and God. But Moses was a mediator between God and one nation, the nation of Israel, which consists of 12 tribes. He was a mediator between God and them, and any other people who would proselyte into the Israel would come under his, you know, mediation. But he understood that this prophet that's going to come would be the mediator between God and the entire earth, every man everywhere. Isn't that rich? And so he warned them of it. And another thing, the prophets were surprised and couldn't understand. All through the Old Testament, especially after the law of Moses established, God's people was reckoned by a certain nation, by the descendant of a certain man, Abraham, through certain posterity, Jacob, Isaac, and Jacob, and so on. But they could see that this great prophet is coming, was going to reconcile all men of all nations to God. So then shall his hand reach forth to the Gentiles, a thing that was unheard of in his day. You see what I'm getting at? So that's a marvelous thing to the prophets back there. In the second chapter of Isaiah, said the tabernacle of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountain, and all nations shall flow unto it. Well, that's a mystery to that prophet, because it's going to be way up in the top of a mountain, and they're going to flow up in the mountain. We used to things flowing downwards, but they're going to flow up. Isn't that something? And the next thing would be all nations. Everybody would be involved. Now let's note the fact that the tabernacle of the Lord is with men. That's what we're working on. And that's what puzzled me. It didn't puzzle these prophets that God could do great things. But what puzzled them, that he'd do it through men that's still on earth. That's the thing. Now these prophets are used to angels coming and ministering to them. But they could see the day is coming when men will do that job that angels are doing. And they wanted to look into it. Now you take Gideon. When he was speaking to face the great armies of the Philistines and whoever that was, his enemies in a way, the angel came to him and encouraged him. You take Abraham. In the 18th chapter of Genesis, three angels. One of them was called the Lord. Seemed like the Lord come and brought a couple of angels with him. And guided him what to do. And in the 19th chapter of Genesis, two angels came to Sodom. Destroy that wicked place. Angels all along, you see. But now, let's notice something here. In the New Testament, the tabernacle of the Lord is with men. I keep repeating that. When I'm through, I want you to have the point. What God used to do with angels, he now does it with men. And that's where he wanted to be. That's his plan. That's the blueprint for the New Testament. To make men holy. And use men while he's been using angels. That's why it puzzled the prophet. And he wanted to, that's why the angels want to take a look at that to see what it would be like. Men that's born in sin, that they could be purged and cleansed to the point that they could be used of God. All right? And the 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, we find the account of a centurion of the Gentiles named Cornelius. And Cornelius was fasting in prayer. And he was a godly man. But it didn't seem that he knew the real church. But back to my point, he knew God, though. But I do not believe Cornelius had any idea that God had a people on earth in which the Spirit of God ruled in them like he did up in heaven. I don't believe that ever crossed his mind. But I believe he knew God had something. This man is fasting and praying. In the 10th chapter of Acts. And an angel came and talked with him. Notice that, an angel. And the angel said to Cornelius, you send to the house of the tanner by the seashore and call for Peter. See what the angel did?
Yeah.
Now the angel could have told him anything he needed.
Yes.
Could have done anything for him. But why didn't he do it? Because the tabernacle of the Lord is already with men now. That's the point. It wasn't with men to that extent in the Old Testament, but it is now. The Holy Ghost had already come. Peter was very much filled with the Holy Ghost. And there were multiplied thousands filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
There were churches then already established in different parts of the world. The tabernacle of the Lord was with men. The angel said, you send, and told him where the man was. Have him to come. When Peter arrived and began to give them the story of Jesus, from the resurrection to the ascension, even beginning back in the time of John the Baptist leading up to it, while he yet spoke, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? The tabernacle of the Lord is already with men now. The church is on earth. That's what I'm trying to say. And God chose now to use men to do that, that he used to do with angels. Do you know it's possible that you can be in the church by spiritual birth, by the life you live, and yet not realize your privilege? It's entirely possible. The little statement back in the Old Testament is kind of like this. I don't remember everything that goes with it, but I remember this part of this. This is in the statement. Show the house to the house of Israel. Something like that. Show the house to the house.
Uh-huh.
Now, there's one meaning we could have. Show the New Testament house to the Old Testament house. Now we know that's true. But I believe it's possible to show the house to itself. Amen. I believe you might have more around here to work with than you knew you had. Might have some privilege you didn't count that you had. In the 19th chapter of Acts, Paul found the number of disciples. And he asked those disciples, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now that's the real meaning of thy kingdom come, that the Holy Ghost come into our hearts. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Notice what they said. That we haven't even heard whether there be a Holy Ghost or not. But there was. And it's for them. But they hadn't heard him. Do you see what I'm getting at? Now that can happen to you and me. The Holy Ghost is very much in the world, and thousands of people are possessed with him, and it's here for them to have. Because in the second chapter of Acts, so the promise is unto you and to your children, them that are far off, and to as many as the Lord called. But you know, it's for them 12 men too and more. But they didn't know it. Paul said, well, what did you baptize under then? Under John's baptism. He said, well, John baptized you unto repentance, saying, believe on him that come after, who baptized with the Holy Ghost. And when they heard that, they submitted to God, and he laid hands on them and received the Holy Ghost. But here's what I want you to get hold of. They didn't know it until then. They didn't know that was their privilege until Paul reached them. That could happen to you. Saved, but you have privileges that you doesn't realize. That's what I want you to get hold of you now. The tabernacle of the Lord is with men. That is with men before Paul got to them, but they didn't know that privilege. When he told them about it, I'm right then. They didn't say, I'm going to measure up someday. Amen. Now. The humble heart then, and got the help they need from God. Isn't that rich? Now that's what I want us to get this morning. There's some privileges for you that you need to get it.
Yes.
I mean, beyond just being saved.
Yes.
You need to understand that I'm not just a singled out individual floating out in the world, but God have a plan by which the I together with other Christians can be united with God and each other. Amen. And the kingdom of God reigning in our hearts. To the extent that God's will is being done in earth, in me, or us, as it is in heaven. Now this man, after he prayed for them, they received the Holy Ghost. Now it's a fact in that case, thereafter, that the tabernacle of the Lord is with men. In the fourth chapter of Acts, verse 24 to 34, 10 verses through that, more than that, but I mean that is covered. The apostles had been punished, or greatly threatened, in order not to preach the gospel they was preaching in Jerusalem. They came back to their own company, notice what they done, came to their own company, and reported what was there, told them. In the first early part of this chapter, fourth chapter of Acts, it mentions that there's more than 5,000. That's a lot of saints in one place, isn't it? More than 5,000. All right, 5,000 or more. And listen what happened. When they came to their own company and reported to them that we are ordered by the authorities not to even preach this gospel anymore. And that punishment of death is waiting to be preaching. So they all lifted up their voice in one accord. Tabernacle Lord was with me in that morning, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they told the Lord about the threatening. Reminded him of his promises and the prophecies.
Yeah.
Called his attention to the ministers and asked God to give them boldness to bear witness to the resurrection of Jesus.
Yeah.
And they prayed something else. Said, Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal. They prayed so that day until that place was shaken as if by an earthquake. By the symbol. Shaken by the power of God. And it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Tabernacle Lord is with me in that day, wasn't it? There was 5,000 or more in one place, in one building, no doubt. And they all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they all lifted the voice in one accord. And they prayed so until God shook that place. And that's not all. Said the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Amen. 5,000. One heart. That's the way it is in heaven, isn't it? And one soul. To that we on earth. Thy will be done in earth as it is done in heaven. The tabernacle of the Lord is with men. Thy kingdom come, amen, that will be done on earth. That's just in heaven. Now that was a case where 5,000 people, and there were one heart and one soul. There's so much one until they sold their possessions. And they quit counting that possession just their own. Had consecrated to God. Amen. A lot of people think they sold homes and everything, but there's evidence they sold the extra possessions. Now those who were called to the ministry sold home and all, and just got out on the field. But just those who were in business and all, they didn't sell their business out from under them. No, they didn't. They sold their extra property. Because in the 12th chapter of Acts, when Peter was put in jail, they were assembled at the home of one of the saints, praying without ceasing. They had homes. Amen. Even the evangelist Philip had home, according to the 21st chapter of Acts. They came into his home, and in his home he had either three or four daughters, and all of them prophets. He had a home.
Amen.
Now some people think that means sold home and everything. It just went around like it was. Oh, didn't. It means sold off the extra properties. Sold off the extra things they had. All that stuff, turn it in for God. And I've heard of some folks say, when you get in this church, if you want to be consecrated to God, you got to sign all your property over to the church. No, I didn't say that. Each person by his own will did that.
Yes.
That's where you read it. It is a matter of his own heart moved him to do it. That's the way that come about. But let's notice something here. The main thing is, it's not so much the material things they did, but it's what caused them to do it. That's what caused them. Whether it's been great property or whether it's been just 10 cents, it's the fact that the heart was in the whole thing. That's why it come in. Now let's notice this morning. This is not a fairy tale of some particular year. This is what ought to be today. That's for you and that's for me. That the tabernacle of the Lord is with you and me. And he'll dwell in us and walk with us. We'll be his people. He'll be our God.
Amen.
That's what it means. Thy kingdom come into your heart and mind. That will be done in your heart and my heart. As it is in heaven.
Amen.
Not only that, it means that will be done in us collectively.
Yes.
As it is in heaven. That's the most difficult part. It's to do it collectively. You can't do things selectively unless you die to yourself.
Yes.
Has to be a constant, perpetual. That's true.
Yes.
To do things collectively, you've got to be more or less all along sacrificing feelings and readers. That's the only way you can do things collectively. But as you sacrifice it, more grace comes in place of it.
Amen.
Greater power from heaven fills that vacuum. Every time you make a space in your heart by sacrificing your own riches, every time you do that, God fills more grace in that place. It becomes more and more spiritual all the time. Somebody's pitying you. Poor fella suffers this, or suffers that, or sister, whoever it is, and you're happy in them. Because the kingdom of God is dwelling within. There's a mutual relationship between you and God, and you and God and the people. That cannot be measured in a basket, and weighed in scales, and measured by these things that measure the earthquake. You can't measure. You've got to have a spiritual vision to see it. Fellowship of the Spirit. Now people that run around and dance all night and act a fool and dope up and get drunk. Man, I was in my wine last night. They have a time to claim to. Well, that actually looked like somebody insane to me. That's the way it looks. I know why it looks that way, because I've never drank in my life. Never got high on nothing but the Spirit of the Lord. That's true. I don't know what he's talking about I was high last night. See? Well, I believe it's the same way with a person. I see a person just stay in church and happy and consecrated and sometimes miss some money. So, man, you've been made so much today. He missed all of that. Go to church. Well, what's the matter with that fellow? That fellow's enjoying something he don't know a thing about.
Amen.
Get in the car and drive 100 miles. For Sunday morning service.
Amen.
Man, isn't the churches all around here?
Yes.
What's the matter with it? That man's got something in him he don't know a thing about.
Yes.
You ought to see a saved man getting his car and drive to Oklahoma for a weekend service. He's like a camp meeting or something. Here. And come back just as happy. Man, you spent all that money going over there. He doesn't know. He doesn't realize it.
Yes,
it's an experience in within that only the fellow possesses understands. That will be done in earth. Tabernacle that the Lord is with men.
Amen.
Now, as is commonly known to you, I can't do it as fast as I could a little while back. And I have much to say on the subject. But there's a central point that I believe I better bring in here now, because my time is getting me so fast. And this is directly for the sage that I want to say now. The tabernacle of the Lord is with men. All right. We come over the scripture where it said the angels desire to look into this. The prophet wondered what it would be like. 12 men that was already saved didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. But as soon as they heard it, they got out and got it.
Yes. Amen.
And the apostles had it so strong till 5,000 people or more was of one heart and one soul. That's rich, isn't it? Now, under those conditions, when it was like that, is when the dead was raised to life, blind eyes were opened. Peter walked about Jerusalem in the shadow, this Passover people healed. Amen. It was under those conditions. So when the church was in that state. Well, now, that let us know it's for the church, doesn't it? Now, here's what I want to say. We are living in the evening time off the gospel day, which means right in the end of time. But it said the evening would be as the morning. See? Evening time shall be light. That would mean we are entitled to what the apostles had back there. Way down here in the end of time. We might be fewer in number because the closing out of time, because it did say in one of the prophets that to be like a man gathering his figs, you know, or whatever it be. He has one here and another way over on the limb over there, and another way up high. Yes. The uttermost branch. That means you didn't just shake them off by bushels. You're gleaning them. Now we are somewhere near the end of time. If not in our generation, there'll be a time when there'll be only gleaning. And I've noticed to some extent it's gleaning now. I'll tell you why. Because among the people who makes the start, the percentage is small. Did you notice that? So you're gleaning after all. The percentage that gets a real experience that tides them over is small. So you're gleaning, you see. Now this is what I'm trying to say. Even down in this gleaning time, we have the same privilege they had then. But it takes the same consecration now that it took then. That's what we're going to keep it now. Now, someone turned to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and the other to the 12th chapter of Romans. And 1 Corinthians 12 would start with verse 1, and then maybe verse 6 rather. And in Romans 12 would start with verse 3, verse 5. Romans first, if you have it. 12 and 5.
So we being many. Are one body in Christ.
We are one body in Christ.
Everyone
is members one of another.
Having been gifts different according to the grace that is given to us.
Remember, the tabernacle law is with men. God wants to work through human beings and do the things that he's been doing with angels. All right, we have gifts different one from another. What else?
Having been gifts different according to the grace that is given to us.
So the gift that God bestows upon you is according to the grace given to you. Now some of them is gifted with prophecy.
Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith.
Keep this in mind. It's not necessary for you to attempt anything beyond what your faith covers. Prophesy according to the proportion of faith.
Our ministry. Let us wait on our ministry.
Wait on our ministry.
Are ye that teacheth?
The man is a teacher.
On teaching.
That means he teaches as the Lord gives it. He waits on his teaching and teaches when the Lord gives it.
Are he that exhorteth?
On
exhortation.
He waits on his exhortation and gives it when the Lord bestows upon him. All right.
He that giveth?
And he the one that giveth.
Let him do it with simplicity.
Let him be simple with his giving.
He that ruleth? With diligence. He showeth mercy. With cheerfulness.
Now, here's what I want to say. Did you notice it mentioned gifts when the poets named those things? Amen. Everyone else have gifts.
Yes.
According to the portion of faith.
Amen.
It mentioned faith and grace. Yes. Gifts of the Spirit. Some people is gifted to prophesy. Now, I believe many true saints is afraid of it because it's so much fortune telling, you know, hand reading and lying and all stuff in the world today. They don't want it to look like they're in that bracket. But it's still a fact that God choose out men and women on earth and bestow them
with divine power to foresee the immediate future.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
It's God's will to have it that way.
Yes.
And that's a prophet. Now the gift of prophecy, just the word prophecy, that's a broad term. That includes and involves any man who speaks by divine inspiration for the Lord. Even a person that doesn't preach at all. Now, if anybody in this building get up to testify, you may thought to give us a little report on how the Lord's blessed you since we were here last. Or maybe you had a serious close call for your life. You want to witness to us how the Lord brought you out. But when you have told us that, the Lord himself drops into your heart more things to say.
Yeah.
And before you're through, you've exhorted all of us to stay close to God, see?
Yeah.
Well, that's prophecy. That's what that is. Prophecy means to speak for God to man.
Yes.
Under divine inspiration anointing. That's prophecy.
Yes.
That's why it mentions certain one received the Holy Ghost and spake with tongues and prophesied. Some people think because they spake with tongues, to think that means they spake something they didn't understand. No, it means they spake with tongues and spoke words by anointing.
Yes.
That's what makes a prophecy.
Thanks a lot.
Most all saints prophesy at times.
Yes.
They didn't know it until they got on their feet. They got on their foot to report to you how they were getting along and ask you to pray for them.
Yes.
But when they started talking, the Lord, that's true, man. Spirit of the Lord put more words in their mouth.
Yes.
And they spoke them. Well, that is prophecy.
Amen.
That's a few words of prophecy.
Yes.
Now the minister is called and gifted to speak like that. See what I mean?
Yes.
That's his day, that's his constant job from Sunday to Sunday, time to time.
Yes.
That's why he's a prophet.
Yes.
Amen. He's a prophet.
Yes.
But you're not a prophet, but you spoke a few words of prophecy. But here's the next thing I want you to get a hold of. There's another meaning to the word prophet, and that's this. The term prophet is very broad in its definition. It means he who explains and interprets and makes known the truth of the Bible, that foretells future events, and that speaks to men for God under divine inspiration. See how broad it is now. Now the preacher explains and interprets and makes known the truth of the Bible. He's a prophet in that sense, all of them. Then there are some people, and the preacher also foretells future events. I expect every preacher that have a gospel call has some ability to foresee the immediate future. That's true, some ability. But God sometimes bestows on an individual a special gift that most anything that's coming of any major seriousness, they know it. That's true. They know it.
Yes.
Because they're gifted to know it. And I mean, just like if a great calamity or strike the church or any problem, they predict it. Sometimes they may not, maybe we may not accept it in the way they put it out. But they're gifted to do that. Now God wants you and me to wake up to that fact.
Amen.
He wants you to let God do what he wants to do with you.
Amen.
Now can you see what we're getting at?
Amen.
Let him do what he wants to do with you. Whatever that be, let him do that with you.
Yes.
If God keep blessing you a certain way, he means to use you that way. Amen. Now. You remember when Moses was way up in the desert there and went to the back side of the desert and there had a bush sitting above burning. It wouldn't burn up, just kept burning. He went up and said, what is the matter with that bush? While he's looking, the Lord called him out of the bush. He got his attention, see. Began to tell him something. Didn't God have him to put his hand in his bosom or something, take it out of his lepers? See what God's doing up there in the mountain by himself? Then told him what to do and he disappeared. God put him through several things and demonstrated his power to him. That's because he wanted to use him that way.
Yes.
Amen. Now what about your home over there? God name just worked miracle upon miracle. You can't just, well, I don't count myself able to do anything. It worked at home, didn't it?
Yes.
Amen. It worked at home, didn't it?
Yes.
Little work at church.
Amen.
If it didn't work at home, you can rest assured it worked at church.
Yes.
Anything that worked at home pretty well worked at church.
Yes.
If your life is all right at home, it's all right at church.
Yes.
All right, now here's what I want to say. Haven't you seen time when you want to raise some money for an emergency? Maybe everybody already has been taxed to the extent that you just figure that there's no money around, but some super emergency arrives. And some money comes from them somewhere. You wonder, where did that money come from? You've seen it, didn't you?
Yes.
I experienced that when I fell sick. All expenses folks have, why is it coming from? Well, now, that's the way it is spiritually. Yes, it is. That's the way it is spiritually. If everybody will dig out those secret things God's been doing for you. Amen now.
Yes.
And bring it to the front. They say, where did all this power come from? But you're sitting on it.
Yes.
I believe God told you that. But you're sitting on it. When you get to church, you count yourself too little to do that. But it worked at your house, didn't it?
Yes.
Amen. It worked, didn't it? It'll work here.
Amen.
Now listen. I want us to remember the tabernacle Lord is with men. He wanted men to do it. That's what I want you to get clear. Yes, God can do it without man. But he'd rather do it with a man. Do you know God would rather send a man who bless you than send an angel? What comes next, say send an angel.
Yeah.
But he'd rather send a man to do it. To prove that, when Cornelius said, prayed until the angel come to him, he's fasting, and told him what man to get. Isn't that rich?
Amen.
Now God wants a people in which there's people doing these things. Here's what the Lord wants. He wants a people on earth in which among that people is a gift to cover every need. That's what he wants. It's too big for any one man, no matter who he is. That's true. I say it's too big for any one man, no matter who the one man be. It's too big. There may be one man that holds a very central place. Have you ever seen a ball team go out and just a pitcher win the game? You may have a pitcher that's one of the famous men in the United States, but you need a pretty good catcher back there, doesn't you?
Yeah.
But you need some field men. I've never been a league player, but I played at school a little bit when I was a boy. I was tall and lanky, and I was a good first baseman, isn't it?
Yeah.
They need some first basemen in this thing here.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Leap clear up over the man and catch the ball over his head. Knock me down. I've got the ball in my hand. We'll roll down. Needed me standing up there, too. Had a good pitch out there. Almost fanned the folks out. But you need somebody else out there, too.
Yes.
I want us to understand God needs a full team yet.
Yes.
Yes, he does.
Amen.
Yes.
And what God's doing for your home, he'll do it for your church.
Yes.
Amen.
Just keep the life in shape. He'll do it at church.
Yes.
And I believe that some gifts can be dug out. I believe that.
Yes.
It's kind of covered up, wasn't it? Wasn't the place in the Bible, you remember why that the talents was given out? Give one 5 talents, wasn't it? Give the other 2 talents. Give the other 1 talent. This man with the 5 talents, he developed it into 5 more. The man that had the 2 talents developed his to 2 more. And both of them had the same word, well done. But the fellow with 1 talent just wrapped it up just nice, you know, just hit it. Oh, mine ain't much as nobody else's. I don't think it'd count mine much anyway. When you come back, here's your talent. I've used some talents now, wrapped up in napkins around here. I'm not talking about Los Angeles, or not even talking about Allensworth altogether. I'm talking about right in Bakersfield.
Yeah.
Fresno or no place else. I leave some talents that's wrapped up in napkins. I believe the Lord told me that. We need to unwrap that talent. Little tiny talent, you think. But you get it to work and you see.
Amen.
Don't you know for that one talent you'll hear the word well done? Just same as a man that has five?
Yes.
Amen.
Thou good and faithful servant.
Amen.
The tabernacle, Lord, is with men. God wants to get men to doing these things.
Yes, Lord.
He wants his church so equipped that every emergency and every need, that active human agents within the church able to meet it. Isn't that encouraging?
Yes.
Amen.
He said the gifts are given to profit with all. That's what it's for. The gift of the Spirit is not given to one person just for his sake. That gift is bestowed upon that person to profit off. That's what it's for. Now let's use an illustration. Suppose, now I know I have the gift to teach. I'm not talking about a school teaching now. I'm talking about divine teaching the Word of God. I know that without any question. That's true. I'm well aware of that fact. But I also know I'm gifted to preach the gospel. And I believe the Lord lets me know when to do either. When I'm speaking to believers that already has been taught, I mean already converted, he mostly has me to teach. When I'm faced with an audience of people of deception, amen now, steeped in sin, he has me to preach. Just bring the thundering judgment of God as a pealing cry. And throw it out and leave it there. That's right. I believe I know when to do it. He tells me when to do it. But I have the gift of both. And I have no question about it. That's right. I'm well aware of that. All right. And I've had unusual success at various times in praying for the sick. Before the heavy responsibilities of the church, you mean all that's fallen upon me, my burden was almost entirely the sick. And I had much success at it. That's true.
Amen.
I do not believe it's exactly the way God chose to do it. To load a person with the overall responsibilities, to counsel, to admonish, and to correct, and load them with all of it. I believe you may have the gift, but I don't believe it'll work as effectively as if he was with that only. I believe that. I believe I'm old enough and spiritual enough for the Lord to know that. I believe God will choose some people who's not harnessed all up. That's true. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Got to correct this little confusion, that little confusion, and this person's hurt at you, and that don't like the way you said or something. I believe God will choose somebody that don't have to be involved. I believe God has told me. If you listen at him. And I'd recommend that you never don't allow yourself to be involved. Just stick to that. Do you know you need what I'm saying now?
Amen.
In order for you to get to a soul, the soul has to have confidence in you. You make the contact. If you've got to admonish the soul sometime and rebuke him sometime and correct him sometime, sometime he's mad at you. That's true.
Yeah.
But still, we don't want to leave him without a blessing because he's mad at me or a certain person. You want somebody to get to him.
Yeah.
And after that person gets to him, then he'll loosen up for the one he's mad at. Yes, he will. God knows what he's doing, doesn't he?
Yes.
What I'm trying to tell you is this. I believe there are people that may never mount a pulpit to preach in their whole life. that God may bestow upon them the gift of healing the sick.
Amen.
It wouldn't have to be a pulpit preacher.
Amen.
That's true. They may never at any time in life feel a special call to take up the pulpit work. They may or may not ever feel that way. Yes, God bestows his upon the ministers. You take Peter and Paul, I believe they possessed every gift that's named in the Bible. I believe those two men did. God didn't place anything in the Bible to limit one gift to one person. No, he didn't. It's his privilege to give one or more to the same person. For now, due to the nature of the apostles' work, and they had to found the church and establish from the ground up, God seemed to bestow all the gifts upon them. Every gift you can read in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I believe you can see it manifested in an extraordinary way in Paul and Peter. That's marvelous, isn't it? But that doesn't mean every Christian would have all the gifts, no. There'll be some Christians have one gift. If you notice it, in natural life, a person that has one trade that just about excels anything you know of in doing it. Have you noticed that? Just have one trade, that's what they do. When our God has that much wisdom, God may choose a person that doesn't know a lot of things even much, but they're gifted by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord. Bestowed upon them the gift and the faith to fill a certain little corner in the church. That's beautiful, isn't it? And I believe you need to go to work and notice and see how have God been dealing with you. Just check back and see. And would you be willing to say, Lord, here am I, send me? Would you be willing, Lord, if you choose me, I'm ready. But keep this in mind. Any special place you feel for God calls for a very deep consecration. It does. It can be a little place. But if it's used of God, it calls for a very deep consecration. You almost certainly will have to be more or less all along sacrificing your personal reverence to stay qualified to stand in that place.
Yes, sir.
That's what you'd have to do. You just have to do that. It's to be used of God.
Yes.
What about my Lord? He's a man of sorrow. He's acquainted with deep grief. The chastisement of peace upon him. He's a bruised and smitten and afflicted for us. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Reproaches of them that approach God fell on him.
Amen.
Now that's the way it's going to be with anybody that'll step out and accept a special place for God.
Yes, that's true.
At various times, places, and manners, things going to fall on you.
Yes.
And you've got to be humble enough to let it fall on you.
Amen.
Just leave it with God. That's what it's going to be, the use of God. The tabernacle of the Lord is with men. God wants us to understand this morning that he wants all of that in the church itself. Now, start reading in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6, I believe.
Verse
6? Yeah.
And there are diversities of operations.
There are diversities of operations.
But it is the same God.
It's the same God.
His work is all in all.
His work is all in all.
The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man.
Manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man.
To profit is all.
In other words, all of us are supposed to profit from the way God used one. Read on.
For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom.
Now God has given the gift of wisdom to some people.
To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit.
The word of knowledge by the same Spirit.
To another faith by the same Spirit.
The gift of faith is a part, belongs in the church, by the same Spirit.
To another the gift of healing by the same Spirit.
Gift of healing by the same Spirit.
to another the working of miracles.
The gift to work miracles by the same Spirit.
To another prophecy.
And another prophecy.
To another discerning of spirits.
Another discerning of spirits.
To another diverse kind of tongues.
To another the different kinds of tongues.
To another the interpretation of tongues.
Another interpretation of tongues.
But all these work that one and the self same Spirit.
Amen.
Dividing to every man severely as he will.
Now, here's what I want you to notice. You notice when he said that the gift was given the prophet with all.
Yes.
The gift God bestows upon one was intended to profit all. Let's take the gift of wisdom. God didn't promise to give everybody that saved the gift of wisdom. But he did promise to bestow the gift of wisdom among it. One who has a gift of wisdom, it is God's ordained plan and intention that the entire church become wiser as a result of one having labored among you with the gift of wisdom. To one with the gift of faith, is God's intention that the whole church be raised to a high degree of faith as a result of one with a gift of faith living in laboring among you. A gift means an extraordinary or superhuman ability to do a thing. That's the gift of the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit goes beyond all human means. There's no means can equal the gift of the Spirit. That's true. When you're gifted to the Spirit, it means the Holy Ghost bestows upon you a special endowment that enables you to excel. It says excel. That's right. That's what a gift is for. Many people think people is gifted who's just living up to what's a normal state of all Christians. Now all saints of every man or woman will have the ability to do some of everything mentioned in the gifts. They can do some of it. Because it's the same Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Amen.
Any Christian may, under special conditions, perform a miracle. That's true. There's no law against it. Any Christian may just rise to their feet to testify and God just bestow a message upon them for anybody in here, for all of us. That's true.
Yes.
And they sit down trembling. Why? Because they got kind of frightened afterwards. They didn't know they were going to say all of that. The Spirit of the Lord bestowed that upon them. That's the privilege of any Christian. But a gifted teacher, amen now, is more or less prepared most all the time because he's gifted for that.
Yes.
That's the point once you get a hold of. The gift of healing. While many good Christians may at various times and various emergencies, I imagine they'd be surprised if all of you would come back tonight, we'd give 30 minutes to begin in the service, just one by one, to testify to some of the things God has done for you in the last 12 months. I imagine we'd be surprised.
Yes.
I imagine we would.
Yes.
Just rise to your feet and just witness to what the Lord has done for you. At some time, you're in much need and called on.
Yes, Lord.
You see, the devil wants that here. Amen.
Yes.
He wants that here. He don't want us all to know that's happened to each other. He wants you to be isolated in your burden. But when you begin to witness to that and find out what God's doing for different ones, it raises your courage, doesn't it?
Yes.
Amen.
Now what I'm trying to say, all Christians may experience some blessings.
Yes.
But one who is gifted by the Holy Ghost in more or less, you know, performing at various times all along. Now then, one whom God honored with the gift of faith, it is his intention by that person to bring the whole church to greater faith. That's what that's for.
Yes, amen.
To demonstrate through the individual all of us be helped by. Gift of discernment. I definitely know I have some of that. The gift of discernment.
Amen.
Now the gift of discernment causes the person who have discernment would have some grief when other folks are gay. That's true. They could discern things that's right at hand that other folks don't have the idea to. Discern the working of a foreign spirit they wouldn't know a thing about. I've known people to get all sympathetic, go out and dig up somebody of some religious belief, and he talks almost like a real thing. Why do they preach? They don't deserve anything wrong. See what I mean? But God would intend by that means to bring the whole thing to greater discernment, even.
Yeah.
To recognize the difference between the Spirit of the Lord and the Spirit of Satan. Now, I believe God even gifts some people to give. That may sound funny, doesn't it? Didn't it say in Romans when it mentioned gift, he that giveth, let him do it with what was it? Simplicity. You don't have to make a great big excitement about it, does it? I believe that some people will always have something to give. Amen. I believe the gift in such a manner. Tell they'll just shock people at the amount they'll give to the cause of God. And they just keep on giving. You're looking for them to go bust it and have nothing, and you go prosper more than somebody else.
Yes.
Amen. Well, doesn't that person inspire the folks to give?
Yes.
Sure it does. I've heard it said. I've heard the deacons testify for people sometimes it wasn't even a church. Sure I have. Testify how much they give, and then when they got to them, they did. Praise the Lord. Well, hasn't that person inspired somebody?
Yes.
Let us remember all of the things that the gifts is to inspire the rest of us.
Yes.
Now, the gift of teaching and the gift of prophecy. When the church is in a lean state, about the only gift operates is preaching and teaching. That's true.
Amen.
But if the gift of preaching and teaching operates to its full extent, it'll break through, see, and rebuke the powers that hinders and binds the word. Once it's loosened up, then all the gifts begin to operate like it ought to. Now, my own body, when I come down to a state of complete exhaustion, I was convinced that my body didn't operate like it's been. Amen. And you see what the effect was. Well, now, spiritually speaking, if all of us don't operate, there's going to be weakness here. That's right. If all of us doesn't operate, there's going to be a weakness here.
Yes.
But if all of us operate, there'll be power.
Yes.
I mean much power.
Thank
the Lord. That fourth chapter of Acts said they all lift up their voices together and prayed.
Yes.
That place was shaken where they were assembled. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. My message is to the church this morning. And I trust that I've gotten it over.
Yes,
and I trust that you and I will realize if I'm going to be used of God, I'm going to have to be dead to myself.
Yes.
And then I'm going to have to be dying more or less all alone to myself.
Amen.
If God honors me with a gift, I must appreciate it enough and take it serious enough that I'm not letting my feelings or any of my personal wishes get in the way of it.
Amen.
I must appreciate to that extent. I must appreciate the honor of God trusting me with a gift to the extent I let nothing get in the way of it.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, but just running over. Well, you just have to run over me until I can find out from God the right way for me to start.
Yeah.
Amen. I'll be right here until God help me understand the right way to stop this running over me. But if you're just going to fly up and take things in your own hand, you'll spoil the gift. Now, may I quote my text in closing? The tabernacle of the Lord is with men. Now, I believe you see what I was getting at.
Yes.
All the way through, you can see what we're driving at, doesn't it? Is with men. Praise the Lord. It's not just with angels, but with men. And it's God's ordained plan that there be men and women in the church to fill every need. That's right. Now I believe this as I close. I believe that there's time that good Christians, devout saved people, may reach states of great despair. That's true.
Yes.
In different ways. But I believe if everything is working right, God will have a human so gifted to rescue that person. I believe that. A human. So filled with the Spirit, tell their presence, if they can get to the person, they'll inspire them to why they can take hold. That's on all lines. All the points you covered. You, instead of sitting around pitying yourself, go to looking to God for the gift. What will you have me to do? Is it just a little one talent? I'll use it with all of my heart.
Amen.
That is one talent. If I'm to work out of sight, you don't know I'm working, Lord, I'll be there pitching. The roots of a tree is not up there getting all that honor like the branches got the fruit on it, is it? But you're sure doing a job down there.
Yes, sure.
Now, some of us is a root. Some of us might be a tap root, but you're out of sight, isn't it? Oh, you're just bragging on these beautiful. Look at this beautiful apple, but there's a tap root down on it. How would you like to be a taproot this morning?
Yes, sure.
Now, may I say, let us not say that sometime I'm going to measure up. No, no. Let's measure up this hour.
Yes.
Let's dedicate ourselves this hour.
Amen.
Let's get rid of all of ourselves this hour that's been in our way and be what God would have us to be.
Yes.
And in my closing, I want to tell you something. Your foreparents and my foreparents has preserved some teaching for us. Have preserved a standard. That's true. Some of them might have been second grade scholars, but brother, they had sense enough to live for God.
Yes, amen. Amen.
There's a lot of things they refrained from that they could have done in part, but they didn't want to take any chance. Instead of snubbing them for it, I respect them for it.
Yes.
They held it straight for me. That's right. They wouldn't take a chance on the thing. They knew there's something about it they couldn't understand, but they knew wrong from right.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't take a chance on it. So just leave it alone.
Yeah.
Then we get up here all our reading, you know, say, they could have done more than things, but what's we doing with it? You see where they're heading to?
Yeah.
Well, all our knowledge, look where they're heading to now today.
Yeah.
Can you see what I'm talking about? Be better off if we were a second grade scholar if we can't beat this one.
Yeah.
By the grace of God, I mean to respect those who held the standard for me. If it took a few little privileges away, it didn't hurt me, it just helped me.
Yeah. Amen.
That's what I'm done about. I'd rather not allow them to drink pop than to allow them to drink pop and whiskey too. You see what I'm giving you?
Amen.
Maybe say, well, he didn't even let us drink pop back there. It didn't hurt you. Pop isn't good for you to mention. That's true.
Yes.
So neither go trying to make some fanatics out of the car. If somebody opposed that, I'm using that as a parable. Some did.
Yes.
But what I want us to do is apply this to everything. Whether a little restriction was held on us a little more than we thought it ought to be. But they kept the standard for us.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
That's the thing I'm looking at.
Yes.
I can forgive them for all of the little inconveniences. They wouldn't let me go beyond and play with the children because it was maybe playing some little game that didn't like. I appreciate all that.
Yeah.
It ended up with a standard. Now, what are we going to do with it? That's what I'm trying to tell you. What am I going to do with it? Am I going to lose it to my children and grandchildren? Am I going to get so smart till I lose it?
Oh, Lord.
I intend to present it. Of course, I'm concerned.
Yes.
And if each one of us will seek God and tell God, make you know what he wants you to do, you can help us there.
Yes.
You can help, and you can help hold up a standard that will still get church here after you and I are all gone.
Yes.
Faithful.
Amen.